This podcast is from Christian Chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.
This morning, we are continuing our Advent message series, The Light Has Come. And we're exploring this month how Jesus comes not just to shine light into our darkness, but his light always leads us into experiences of life. This is what he says about himself in John chapter 8. He says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, the story of Joseph, and we'll see how when the light shines, sometimes it can be a little confusing, but our response is always to trust, to obey, and to follow Jesus as he reveals the steps of our path for us. So if you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, of all the characters in the Christmas story, I think Joseph is probably the one that I identify with the most, right? And there might be others for you. If it's the wise men, the shepherds, come back next Sunday, we'll hit those. If it's Mary, be here Christmas Eve, we'll give her night, talking about that. But I really identify with Joseph because he's just a normal guy, and he has a plan for his life, and he's working the plan, right? And I know many of you are like me. There's just this deep satisfaction that comes from having a plan, working the plan, and seeing the plan work, right? Like I show up every Monday morning in my office. I've got a whiteboard on my wall, and I'll write out my weekly stuff that I need to do that day. And it is deeply satisfying to an abnormal level, probably, the amount of joy I get from crossing things off that list, right? And I've told you before, like, I will write dumb stuff on there just for the satisfaction of crossing it off. Like, eat lunch. Yes, did it. Never actually missed that one. So nail it every single time. Kind of a pro there. But, you know, so there's just this satisfaction that some of us get. And if you're a planner, as much satisfaction as you get from working a plan, you can get equally frustrated when your plan is disrupted. Right, yesterday I was out in Manford. My fifth grade son, had a basketball tournament, and so we were out there and got done, went out, got in my car, started to drive off, and then noticed a little sheet of notebook paper stuck under the windshield wiper of my car. Took me a good like half mile to recognize that. So, not the most observant person. Get out, read it. It says, "I damaged your car. Call me at this number." Right, this was not part of my plan for yesterday. Fortunately, I don't really care about my car. So it was kind of like, well, okay, you know. So I called them. They were super kind, very understanding. We got it all worked out. But that was not how I had planned. I had a plan. I was going to go straight from there to the house. I was going to go on a bike ride because it was actually nice outside, right? And so all of that kind of falls apart. And when your plans fall apart, for some of us, there's just this little bit of anxiety. Some kinds can turn into frustration. Well, Joseph, he has more than a little bit of a turn in his plans. When the light of Jesus shines in his life for the first time, it is incredibly disorienting. He's been working a plan. He's got a job from everything the scriptures tell us. He is a kind, compassionate, hardworking person, the kind of guy we'd be happy to call our brother, our friend, our son, our father. Right? And he's just kind of trucking along through life. He's engaged. He knows where he lives. He knows what he's doing. He knows who he is. And then it says, before they came together, Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, it is alarming enough if you're Joseph to hear that your fiance is pregnant. It's more alarming when she says, "Don't worry, the Holy Spirit did it." Right? Like I said, I got a fifth grader, so we're having this spring, we're having the birds and the bees talk. I wish it was that simple. It's the Holy Spirit. It'd be a shorter conversation for us, and I wouldn't turn red as often, right? But that's not it, and you just can't really imagine what that feels like for Joseph. Really? I mean, his whole plan has now been turned a completely different direction, and he's being told, it's okay, Joseph, this is God's plan. And when your life is diverted by the arrival of Christ in it, it can feel equally disorienting. Because you've kind of had a plan, and you've been working a plan, you've been heading in a certain direction, and then all of a sudden, God shows up, and he begins to redirect your path. He begins to show you, you thought you were going this way, you thought you were investing in this, you thought your life was going down this track, my light shines, and I'm going to take you this direction. Maybe he does it with your children. You've raised them to be a certain way, to have certain skills, certain abilities, certain talents. You've been over backwards to give them certain opportunities, all so that as a college student, as a young professional, they will be able to walk through these doors that you weren't able to walk through. And suddenly they get to the verge, and at the end of all your hard work and all the tuition you've paid and all of the lessons you've taken them to, they say, Mom, I think God's directing me here. Dad, I think God's leading me there. And in that season, you feel like, really? That's not what we thought. That's not what we planned. That's not what we worked. Maybe you're heading into retirement and you've had these dreams of what it's going to be like. And right as you get on the verge of it, God comes and begins to stir in your heart and say, I know you've always thought this, but I'm telling you that. And in these seasons, it can be really, really disoriented. And sometimes it can even get a little frustrating, especially if we feel like I've been faithful. Why is God changing the plan on me now? And Joseph's story teaches us a really important lesson. Our faithfulness to God is not for our benefit. Our faithfulness to God is not so that he has to do what we want. But it's our faithfulness to God that is continually putting us in the position to be used exactly the way God wants to, exactly where God wants to, and exactly when God wants to. We have to resist the temptation of turning our relationship with God into a transactional relationship where I do the things that he tells me to do so that he will do the things I want him to do. Right? Where we serve him because we want to live in his favor and we want to receive his favors. This is not what the scriptures tell us. The scriptures tell us that God's faithfulness to us is what enables our faithfulness to him. So my faithfulness ultimately is his faithfulness. And it's from this understanding that Joseph is able to say, you know what, this doesn't make sense to me at all. But I believe God holds my life in his hands. I believe he holds every part of me. And so no matter how weird this might seem, I'm gonna go with it. And what God calls Joseph to do is very, very strange. Verse 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, Joseph was not only completely within his rights, but would have been completely expected to leave Mary. According to both Jewish and Roman law at the time, it was disgraceful for Joseph to remain in this relationship. Right? There were severe consequences for unfaithfulness, for sexual immorality. And when you get pregnant before you get married, even if you're telling people, no, the Holy Spirit did it, there is still an understanding from the rest of culture of, no, you did, and now there's consequences. In fact, under Roman law of the time, if a husband stayed in a relationship with a wife who'd been unfaithful, he himself lost his reputation and was viewed as a man without morals because he clearly did not care about marital fidelity. And so Joseph not only is within his rights according to the scriptures, but according to the culture and the customs of his time to leave Mary. This is the normal course he should have taken. And yet God comes to him and tells him, not that, but this. It says, after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the first examples of how the arrival of Jesus in the world signifies a transition from a world of law to a world of grace. A world of, I know you thought it was always this way, but now I'm showing you there's another path. The angel doesn't tell Joseph really, really much at all about his relationship to the law. He doesn't make any comment on it at all. He simply tells him, this is from God. You need to obey. And this is a huge ask. Right? He's telling Joseph, I need you to attach your entire life and reputation to her. Because Joseph knows to marry her is going to cause him to be viewed in the same light. He's going to be looked at sideways in his community and by his family. Maybe Joseph's not the good guy we always thought he was. Maybe he's not quite as righteous as he seemed to be. Maybe he's not quite as faithful to the Lord. And no matter how many times he told the story of, no, guys, for real, it's the Holy Spirit. And then an angel came to me and an angel came to Mary. And there's always going to be people his entire life who look at him and think, yeah, but we're just not sure. Joseph had to come to the point, it's the same point you and I have to come to, when the light shines in our life, and especially when it reveals a path that's different than the way the rest of the world lives, there comes a point where we have to decide, are we going to care more about what God thinks, or are we going to care more about what other people think? And for Joseph, he decides, I'd rather be faithful to God than live for the opinions of others. So he begins to walk down this road, and you and I are going to face that. When the light of Christ shines in your life, He's going to call you to do things that are countercultural, because our culture embraces the darkness. Our culture presents you with a way of life where you're always looking out for yourself above all else. And so Jesus comes and he says, yeah, I know that's how you've been told, but I'm telling you, you're to give, you're to serve, you're to love, you're to forgive. You're to turn the other cheek. You're to go the extra mile. You're to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You're to give so naturally that your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. You're not to seek revenge, but you're to leave that to the Lord. You're not to embrace anger or lust. You're to walk in this completely new way of life. And when we live that way, there are going to be times it looks weird. There are going to be times that it's uncomfortable. There are going to be times that you're unable to enter into certain business deals because of your relationship with Christ. There are going to be relationships that you have to end and break off because you're living in the light. There are going to be different choices that you make that don't make sense to the world, but this is the way of light that leads to life. And in that space, we've got to be okay with being a little weird. Right? And the weirdness that God leads you into is ultimately for his glory. What he's trying to teach us is that we have to stop living for the applause and the approval of a dark and broken world. And we have to start living by his truth, by his light, and walking wherever he leads us. And when we do that, his light shines on us for the benefit of others. He told Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. See, Jesus was the point of Joseph's obedience. It wasn't so Joseph would be famous. It wasn't so Joseph would be respected. It wasn't so Joseph would be well known. Joseph had to obey so that Jesus would have a stable home life. So he would have a father who loved him and cared for him, a mother who was safe and secure. So he'd have a space to learn, to grow in the grace of God, so that he could mature in all the ways he needed to fulfill the calling God has placed on his life. We remember Joseph's name today simply because it's attached to Jesus. And it's the same thing with you and me. When God shines his light in our life, and when he calls us to do things that are at odds with the prevailing culture around us, and others begin to ask questions of, why do you do that? Why do you think that way? Why do you organize your family that way? Why do you invest your time, your money this way? Why do you give up your vacation to do these things? In all those spaces, the answer is not because I'm awesome. The answer is because Jesus has changed my life. Right, when the light shines on you, it's going to make you stand out, but it's not for your fame and glory. It's merely a platform for the name and the fame of Jesus to be proclaimed in a new space. And so when you have those conversations at work, in your classrooms at school, with the people you play ball with your neighbors, your friends, your family, in all of those places, there's an opportunity for you to point to the grace, the mercy, and the transforming power of Jesus. Jesus shines his light on us so that we stand out, not for our acclaim, but so that his fame can continue to spread into the darkness. And then he calls us to continue to trust him and obey him all along the way. In verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph followed the angel's directions to the letter. Said, hey, take her home as your wife. This is from the Lord. And so Joseph does it. He wakes up and he obeys. Right? And he really models for us this beautiful response when the light shines to us. See, when the light shines, like we talked about last week, it might only shine the next step in the journey, but that's the step you're responsible for. Right? We want it to shine in a way where we see the beginning from the end, right? You're heading into this new relationship. And you feel like God is saying, yes, this is from me. Yes, you can pursue it. Yes, you can stay in it. And we sit there and we think, okay, but is it going to end in marriage? And not just marriage, but like a really, really good one. Like, is she really going to be great 30 years from now? And God's just saying, hey, just take this next step. Right? God calls you to the school and you want to know, okay, but what about the money? Where's my tuition coming from? Am I getting the scholarships? And he's saying, just send in the application. Just do it, right? We're just called to that first step of obedience. Joseph has an idea of how this fits in the bigger picture. He's told this is from God, that this son in her womb will save people from their sins. And yet there's no way he can fully comprehend exactly what's going to be accomplished in the life of Jesus. Joseph has absolutely no ability to see 2,000 years into the future on the other side of the world to you and I sitting here today because of his obedience. Because he said yes to Jesus, you and I continue to experience his light in his life. There are going to be times that God calls you and he comes and he interrupts your plans and he redirects your path and it seems weird and it seems strange and you start walking on that path. And somewhere along the way, you're going to start to wonder, did I actually make the right decision? Was that really God who spoke to me? See, because we have this thought at times that, well, if I say yes to Jesus and I say yes to the light, then everything's going to be up and to the right from now on. Life is going to go from good to better to best to bestest or whatever comes after best, right? It's just always our best days are ahead. Tomorrow's going to be better than yesterday. Whatever it is, we think that. And yet consider what happens to Joseph. And he says yes, takes Mary home as his wife. They take this trip to Bethlehem with a wife who's in labor. He's unable to find lodging easily. She winds up giving birth in less than stellar circumstances. Shortly after, another angel appears and says, hey, Joseph, now it's time to flee to Egypt because they're going to try to kill your child. So he flees to Egypt. Then they tell him, you can come back now. And by the time Jesus gets really big and really famous and is doing all these awesome things, we don't hear about Joseph anymore. And most people assume that he died at some point before Jesus' public ministry began. And so his story reminds us that our responsibility is not to trust and obey when we know how everything ends, but it's to trust and obey right here where we are. Because there are going to come moments, and some of you, you're there this morning, maybe in your marriage. You believed this was God's plan. You proposed. She said yes. He proposed. You said yes. You did the ceremony. You've done the thing. You've bought the house. And now you're wondering, did I actually make the right decision? Was this really the right one? You held the baby in your arms and you were so thankful that God answered your prayers. And now that baby is 16 years old and running their mouth all the time. And you're thinking, God, did I really, is there an exchange policy, something? Because my friend has a sweet one. Not me. I don't have a 16-year-old, so it would clearly be you guys. But we have these moments, right? You're the college student, and you feel like, I know God called me to this university. I know he called me to this degree program, and he provided for me, and the funding was there, and I'm there, and I'm working, and these classes are hard, right? And suddenly being an engineer doesn't sound so awesome anymore because you figured out you got to take math, lots of it. And you're wondering, is this really the space where God called me? And so here's the thing. When you get to those moments, we talked about this last week, you can ask those clarifying questions. You can trust the Lord to lead you and to guide you. But for as long as he's saying yes, your job is to continue to stay right there and to trust and obey. Right? God's called you to that business, and you're in a season where the clients are leaving and the margins are small. And you're wondering, God, did I actually hear your voice? Is this actually where I should be? And you can trust him in the space. He's either going to redirect you or he's going to continue to provide for you. Right? If we stop every time life gets hard, we will never fully understand the goodness of God to us. We'll never fully understand the empowering nature of His Spirit working through us. We can't be afraid of the grind. For Joseph, there were a lot of dark nights. There were a lot of moments where he knew the light had shined. It had shined brightly. He knew this was God's plan. And there had to be those moments where he wondered, is it still? Is this still what God said? Was that angel, it's such a vivid memory, but and his faith is moving from strong to struggling. And you've been there, and some of you are there, and in those spaces, our response is simply to trust and obey. To keep doing the last thing God told us to do until he shines his light and makes the next step possible for us. Max Lucado is a well-known author. I was reading a couple weeks ago his take on the story of Joseph. He said, you've stood where Joseph stood, caught between what God says and what makes sense. You've done what he told you to do, only to wonder if it was him speaking in the first place. You've stared into a sky blackened with doubt, and you've asked what Joseph asked. You have asked if you're still on the right road. You have asked if you were supposed to turn left when you turned right. And you've asked if there is a plan behind this scheme. Things have not turned out as you thought they would. And then Lucado gives this wonderful advice. He says, if you are asking what Joseph asked, let me urge you to do what Joseph did. Obey. That's what he did. He obeyed when the angel called, when Mary explained, and when God sent. He was obedient when the sky was bright and when it was dark. He didn't let his confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know everything, but he did what he knew, because that's what God said to do. And I don't know what space you're in this morning. You might be in that first revelation of light, where it's just shining for the very first time into your darkness, and you're seeing Jesus, and it is disorienting. You might be in a space where his light's shining, and he's calling you down a path that you had not planned to walk. You might be in a space where you've started down it, and now you're wondering, was this the right way or not? I just encourage you with those same things. Just obey. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know the current thing. And whatever the current thing is that God is speaking to you, he's going to confirm it with the scriptures. He's going to affirm it by the believers he placed around you. But you can trust and you can obey right here in this space. If he has said he will bring hope, he will bring hope. If he said he will provide, he will provide. If he said this is his plan, this is his plan. Our job is to trust and obey. To believe that his light shines in darkness and his light leads to life. Life for us, life through us, life to others because of that. So in your discouragement, don't turn away from the light. In your doubt, don't turn back to the darkness. But stay in the space where God has called you, believing that what he's called you to do, he's going to provide for you. His light always breaks through the darkness. His light always illuminates our path. His light always leads us and guides us and sustains us. And in the dark nights of the soul, when our bodies are wrecked, when our minds are wandering, when relationships are crumbling, his light remains our source of life. And in this space, we trust and we obey. Not through our own strength, not through our own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit coming to work in us, to give us faith to believe what God has called me to do, he will provide for. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to turn away. I'm not going to let the fact that I don't know everything keep me from doing something. Do the thing God is calling you to do and keep doing it until he reveals the next step for you. Will you bow your heads? I want to pray with you, and then the band's going to come and lead us in a final song this morning. Jesus, we come in all kinds of situations this morning. Lord, I don't know the details of each person's life, but you do. You know exactly where they stand today. You know the exact situations they're facing. Lord, I pray for those who they've taken the leap of faith. They're walking on the path you've laid out for them. And this morning they're wondering, is this the right way? Did I make the right choice? Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would come and speak clarifying and comforting words to their heart. Lord, I pray for those that are in a space today where you are calling them to do something different than what they had planned. And it might seem strange, it might seem odd, it might seem completely different than how they thought their life would look. God, I pray that as you reveal that, your Spirit would give them faith to obey. God, I pray for those who are here today who've never said yes to following Jesus, who are living in the darkness, and this morning your light shines and it seems disorienting to them. Lord, I pray today that they would receive your light as a gift of your life. That as they confess their sins, as they lay down their desire for control, that your Spirit would come and bring life and hope and salvation to them. Jesus, we surrender to you. We surrender to your plans. We surrender to your light. Help each of us, Lord, to know that the light has shined in the darkness. And the darkness cannot, will not overcome it. So, Lord, give us faith that the things you have spoken to our hearts, the directions you are leading us and guiding us, these are from you. We ask this week that you would confirm them in the scriptures, that you would affirm them through other believers, and that your Spirit would give us faith to follow where you are leading. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll stand with me. They're going to lead us in a final song. As they do, if you'd like someone to join with you about specific prayers in your life, decisions you're facing, situations you're dealing with, you can head out the doors, back doors and to your left. Some of our pastors and volunteers will be waiting to meet with you in the prayer room to pray those prayers with you. The rest of us, we're going to sing this as a reminder of God's presence, his activity in our lives, and that he is our hope for walking in the light.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Christian Chapel. For more information, visit us online at christianchapel.com.